Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what an awesome privilege and a joy we have to be in the presence of God. On the 2nd of August, I felt prompted by the Lord to begin a series of getting to know God. And we started by talking about the glory of God, the Shekinah presence, the personal presence of God that you and I can enter into and then know our Lord. Amen. By the way, the 2nd of August was also our 76th anniversary as a church. Isn't that marvelous? Now, this might come as bad news for you, but that's okay. That was our 21st anniversary. Are you saying, oh man, that's long? Yeah, I know. Friends, it's so lovely to see you. I love seeing you. I look forward to our Zoom meetings. But there's nothing like being together. Isn't that true? I know somebody said to me, but I like the Zoom meetings. I like them too. I like them too. But to get to see your smiles and to hear your voices, when we lead the singing from my kitchen table, I can only hear Helen's voice. I can see your mouths moving, but no sound. And so I really love this.
You got the best of it, actually.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want to continue with the series called Getting to Know God. But let me start by reading a story for you first. In the country of Armenia, in 1988, Samuel and Danielle sent their young son Armand off to school. Samuel squatted before his son and looked into his eyes. Have a good day at school, and remember, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. They hugged and the boy ran off to school. Hours later, a powerful earthquake rocked the area. In the midst of the pandemonium, Samuel and Danielle tried to discover what happened to their son, but they couldn't get any information. The radio announced that there were thousands of casualties. Samuel then grabbed his coat and headed for the schoolyard. And when he reached the area, he saw what he saw brought tears to his eyes. Armand's school was a pile of rubble. Other parents were standing there crying. Samuel found the place where Armand's classroom used to be and began pulling off broken beams from the pile of rubble. He then grabbed a rock and put it to the side and then another one. And one of the parents looking on asked, "What are you doing?" And Samuel said, "I'm digging for my son." The man then said, "You're just going to make things worse. The building is unstable." And tried to pull Samuel away from his work. But Samuel kept working. As time wore on, one by one, the parents left. All through the night and into the next day, Samuel continued digging. Parents placed flowers and pictures of their children on the ruins. But Samuel kept working. He picked up a beam and pushed it out of the way when he heard a faint cry, "Help! Help!" Samuel began to dig furiously. Finally, he could see his son. The muffled voice said, "Papa, come out here, son." He said with relief. "No," Armand said. "Let the other kids come out first, because I know you will get me." Child after child emerged until finally little Armand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms and Armand said, "I told the other kids not to worry, because you told me you will always be there for me. 14 children were saved that day because one father was faithful. Friends, how much more faithful is our Heavenly Father? Whether trapped in life's hardships and struggles, we are never cut off from God's faithfulness. He is true to His character. He is reliable and trustworthy, and He can be counted on always. Amen?
Amen.
He has a simple definition. God's faithfulness means that everything He says and does is certain. Yes. Amen? Yes. You go tell someone that today. Everything God says and does is certain. He is reliable 100% of the time. He is reliable 100% of all the time. Amen. What He says, He does. He does not fail. He does not falter. He does not forget. He does not change. He does not disappoint. And therefore, everything He says, He will do. Now, in the script, in your pages there, I put some scriptures that Ross would usually put on the screen. Now, you can read the whole page if you like and not listen, but or you could follow as we go along. There's no points for reading it first. There's only points for reading along with us. Praise the Lord. Yes, some key passages on God's faithfulness. And I want to apologize, friends, when typing this out, I made a fundamental mistake. Every time you see the word Lord, please note I should have made it capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
And so forgive me for that horrible mistake. Exodus 34 verse 6. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. Joshua 21 verse 45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Psalm 25 verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. And then we got one more from Psalm 89 verse 8. The psalmist reminds us, he says, O Lord God Almighty, You, who is like You? You are mighty, O Lord, and Your faithfulness surrounds You. Your faithfulness surrounds You. And so the first thing I want to talk to you about today, friends, concerning the attributes of God, the characteristics of God, is that He is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Don't forget to remember that. Because so easy when we experience all different kinds of trials in our lives, we forget this marvelous truth that God is faithful. These verses, when taken together, establish that God's faithfulness is not some minor part of His character. God's faithfulness is at the core of His very nature, of who He really is. He is noble, He is holy, He is creator, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, or as the Canadians say, omniscient. He is omnipresent, He is just, He is sovereign, He is unchanging, He is lovely. Why? Because He is faithful. Yeah. Isn't that true? You can't be loving if you're not faithful. He is faithful to His own character. He will never change any of His attributes. Paul knew this truth when he wrote to the Thessalonians, and it's in your page there. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Come on, you know what, friends? I was thinking of this demon called COVID-19. Stop letting it drain us, man. Stop letting us drive fear into our hearts. Stop letting it do that. You go to Walmart, there are more people around you than this. But we're all scared, right? Come on, that demon is no good, man. God is faithful. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Today's text is from the book of Lamentations. Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah. The book is really a collection of sad songs or laments. A lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. It is a mournful postscript. In other words, it came after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations has been called perhaps the saddest book in the Old Testament. Jeremiah the prophet is grief-stricken, and he is verbally expressing his emotional agony. He is lamenting over Jerusalem's being destroyed by the Babylonians. He is lamenting over the rebellious sin of the Israelites. He is lamenting over the fact that God's people have been carried into captivity. Israel had been once again reduced to nothing. And as we come to Lamentations chapter 3, listen, there are 5 chapters. As we come to Lamentations chapter 3, we see that Jeremiah bears his heart. He is not holding back on the depths of his despair and depression. He's just letting go. During this time, while he is grieving, while he is crying, while he is mourning, people begin to tell jokes about Jeremiah. They make a fool of him. They poke fun at him. And you'll read in verse 14 of chapter 3. Listen what he says. As he's crying out to God, he says, I became the laughing stock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. And while he is grieving because of their sins, while he's grieving because Jerusalem has been destroyed, while he's grieving because the Israelites are being taken into captivity, these people are laughing. He's just a joke. Right? And yeah, we find Brother Jeremiah ready to quit. He's ready to give up. After all he's been through, he's ready to throw in the towel. And when we read the first 20 verses of chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, the first 20 verses, we can relate to how Jeremiah is feeling, because sometimes we have felt that way too. In verse 1, Jeremiah felt that God was mad with him, and I felt that way too sometimes. In verse 2 and verse 6, Jeremiah felt that he was in the dark. We felt that way too. In verse 3, Jeremiah felt that God was against him. And we felt that way too. In verse 4, Jeremiah felt physical and mental pain. We felt that way too. In verse 5 and verse 7, Jeremiah felt that he couldn't find an escape. He couldn't find a release from his hardships. And we felt that way too. In verse 8, Jeremiah felt that his prayers were not being answered. And how many times, if you're honest, you can say, Keith, I've cried out to God for certain things and my prayer hasn't been answered. Isn't that true? In verse 14, Jeremiah felt that the people didn't understand him. And we felt that way too. In verse 17, Jeremiah was ready to give up. And we felt like giving up too. In verse 18, Jeremiah felt that his hope was gone. And we feel hopeless sometimes too. And just when everything seemed hopeless, listen to this. Just when everything seemed hopeless, friends, Jeremiah takes his eyes off of himself. He takes his eyes off of himself and off of his situation. And he says, listen to this, yet this I call to mind. You hear that? He says, everything around me is going downhill. Yet this I call to mind. What you talking about, brother? Let's go on. Friends, while it's okay to be honest with God and to express your feelings like Jeremiah did, it's not okay to stay there. All right? You can be all cheesed off. You can be all mad. You can think God is mad. God's not answering prayer. And you think that you have been forgotten. It's okay to feel that way. But it's not okay to stay that way. Yes. You can't stay that way. Jeremiah had every reason to be depressed. But he forced himself to think about God's character, particularly in this sense, God's faithfulness. Yes. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Jeremiah, let's read our text this morning. Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 25. He starts off by saying, after he's come 20 verses of complaining and this and that and feeling sorry for himself and down and depressed, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Isn't that marvelous? He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. Man, this is a change. This is a change, friends. Verse 21 really is a hinge on which the book and Jeremiah's life turns. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. While his outward affliction and his inward turmoil pushed him towards despair, Jeremiah forces himself, listen, he forces himself to bring truth to the forefront of his mind. Friends, what Jeremiah did is something that you and I need to do as well. If we don't do this, friends, we will slide down the slippery slope of discouragement. We need to engage our will. We need to deliberately focus on good things other than our problems. It's so easy with this demon called COVID-19. Amen. to just think about our problems. Isn't that so? We can't work, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, and the problems just stack up all the time. But listen, we need to deliberately focus on good things other than our problems. Force yourself to remember truth. Recall a Bible verse. Remember a time when God demonstrated His grace and mercy to you. Push God's faithfulness to the front of your mind, even when you don't feel like doing it. And when you do, friends, God will begin to restore hope in your life by crowding out the hopelessness that threatens to shipwreck your life, friends. This COVID doesn't allow me to have water, man. Where's my bride? Oh, there you are. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Laura. Here are some answers to questions that we sometimes entertain in our minds when we're going through hard times. The first question is, why doesn't God just leave me in despair and hopelessness? Well, Jeremiah gave the answer, verse 22a, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Isn't that marvelous? Come on now, you look so sad. Listen, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. The Hebrew word for love is rich in meaning. It's a love that will not let go because it doesn't depend on emotions, but an act of the will. God loves us, friends. Why? Because He promised to love us, and nothing can cause Him to break that promise. Pastor Ray Pritchard makes the following point. As bad as things are, if it weren't for God, things would be much worse. Isn't that something? Yeah? Is it Pritchard? The second question we ask, how do I know God will keep loving me? Brother Jeremiah gives us the answer. For His compassions never fail. That's why. For His compassions never fail. I want you to notice that the word compassions is plural. God's compassions are plural because His grace and His mercy and His love are limitless and intense. God's compassions come in as one wave after the other from the presence and the glory of God. It just comes out. It's just like I'm standing in the ocean and the waves are just coming one, another one, another one. You see, that's how God is towards you and I, friends. Listen, the rivers of God's grace and mercy and love run fully and constantly. They never dry up. Never dry up. Thirdly, when will God give me what I need, Keith? When will God give me what I need? Verse 23a gives a word of hope to each one of us to latch on to. Listen, they are new every morning.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, hey, they are new every morning. What if you woke up in the morning to find your wallet is full of money, your fridge full of food, your gas tank is full to the brim? What if you wake up in the morning and find that all your illnesses and your pain is gone? And that's how it is with God's compassions. Listen, that's how it is with God's compassion. They never get used up. They never get finished. It's like waking up and my wallet has more money in it. It's like eating myself sick during the day and in the next morning open the fridge is full of food again. You see how God's compassions are? Do you see how God's goodness is towards you and I? They are new every morning. You know, I've got to come across a Canadian who's hungry. I've never come across a Canadian who's hungry. Because God is good to this country. Hey? God is gracious to this country. They are new every morning. Friends, listen. Don't worry about the money that's for that building there. Our new building. Don't worry about it. It's on its way. It's on its way. You know why? Remember God gave us some money? Remember you took money and you gave it towards the building project? More's coming. Because God's compassions are new every morning. Right now He spoke to someone's heart. To cut that check, brother. I've spoken to you about it before. And that's another sermon that's not for now. Amen. Let me say something about they are new every morning, the mercies, the compassions of God. Let me say, do you remember the story about God providing manna for the people in the wilderness? You remember? God sent it every day, every morning. It was fresh. They were to gather enough for each day, eat themselves to the brim, full, and then tomorrow go and collect some new ones. Isn't that wonderful, friends? This is how God taught His people to trust Him to meet their daily needs. This means at least two things. Listen to this. I don't want to hear about your blessings from 1947. Listen, this teaches me two things. It teaches me that we never have to live on yesterday's blessings. You know, when we don't have to keep going back to the blessings. Why? Because they're new every morning. Amen. Yesterday, I don't have to depend on that to get through to today. Why? Because today was new blessings. Listen, another thing that this thing tells me is that God's blessings are never early and they are never late. They are new. Come on, help me. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrow. We can't say, man, Lord, you know what? Years ago, man, you did this for us, man. Oh, man, I miss those days. No. One more point. Let me make it quickly. One more question we ask ourselves. What is my hope for living? What will keep me going? The answer is God's faithfulness. Jeremiah says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. That will keep me going. Jeremiah is astounded by the limitless supply of God's grace offered to him. Whatever hard things we go through, we must never doubt God's faithfulness, friends. Listen. Don't doubt God's faithfulness. We are to celebrate His great faithfulness every day. Number one, even when we struggle. All of us experience hard times in life. Some of us are struggling with sickness, relational problems, financial pressure, grief and depression, and what have you. Do what Jeremiah did. Choose to focus on God's love and grace and mercy and faithfulness. His compassions. Do not He doesn't, God does never promises us that we'll never go through a hard time. But He does promise to be with us during that hard time. Isn't that true? Call to mind what God has done for you, is doing for you, and what He's promised to do for you. He is faithful. He will always be there. Even when you are tempted, if you're like me, you're faced with some incredible temptations on a daily basis. You say, no, Keith, I don't get tempted. You're telling lies in church. Yeah, we all face temptations, but remember that because God is faithful, He will always provide a way out so that we don't have to give in to those temptations. Look at your verse in 1 Corinthians there 10 verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, but God is faithful. You see that? God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted to beyond what you are able. But when you are tempted, He will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that marvelous? Whatever tempts you, friends, whatever draws you to do something you don't want to do, remember, God's faithfulness will give you a way out. One more point. Even when you mess up. You say what? Yeah, we all mess up. We mess up. And are ashamed for others to know everything we've said and done and thought in the last 7 days. Oh, people must not find out. We're ashamed of what happened in the last 3 months or the last 5 years. Remember, friends, God is faithful. He never gets tired of extending His forgiveness to us. And one more verse in your page there. 1 John 1 verse 9. Help me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, last week, man, I had the same problem. I failed you then. And He says, when? He doesn't remember. I asked Him for the forgiveness last week. Now I'm coming to Him with the same, ask for the same forgiveness. And I said, Lord, remember you forgave me then? He said, I can't remember. I put it in the sea of forgetfulness. God is faithful, friends. He is committed to you. He is looking to pull you out from under the rubble of life. Listen, under the rubble of life. He wants to take your mess and make it a message of His faithfulness to you. He wants to take your mess, how you messed up royally, and He wants to make it a message of His love and grace and mercy. Don't say, Lord, what I've done is too bad. No. Hey? He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of you are having some tough times. Some of you have been praying for your spouse. You've been praying for your children and your family members and your friends that they will receive God's gift of salvation. And it seems that God just doesn't hear. Don't quit, friends. You know why? He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Somebody's going to ask you, what did Keith talk about? God is faithful. Let me end with another story. Roger Sims, he shared a testimony of his life. Listen, on May 7th, May 7th, the day Roger was discharged from the army. That day stuck in his mind. He couldn't get a bus, so he decided to hitchhike all the way home. Carrying a heavy suitcase and in his army uniform, he put his thumb out as a car came by. It was a luxurious black Cadillac. And so he did not expect it to stop. But to his surprise, the car stopped. He thanked the well-dressed man and entered the front seat. He was heading to Chicago, so it was along the way. I have a business there. My name is Hanover. And after talking about many things, Roger, who was a Christian, felt he needed to share with this 50-odd-year-old successful businessman about Jesus Christ. But he kept putting it off until he realized that he was only 30 minutes from where his house was, where he would have been dropped off. It is now or never. So Roger cleared his throat and said, "Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important." He then proceeded to explain how his life had been changed by Christ, the way of salvation, and finally asking Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's surprise, the man pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought he was angry and wanted him to get out of his car. But the businessman bowed his head and said he wanted to pray and receive Christ. So he received Jesus as his Savior. And then he thanked Roger. "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me," said Mr. Hanover. 5 years went by. Roger got married. He had a 2-year-old boy and he had a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, Roger found a small white business card Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises, the company Mr. Hanover works in. The receptionist told him it was impossible to see him now, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused at what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a woman in her 50s. She extended a hand and asked, "You knew my husband?" Roger told how her husband had given him a ride 5 years ago. She asked, "Can you tell me when that was?" "Oh," he said, "that's easy. May 7th. The day I was discharged from the army." He went on to share that they talked about what they talked about and how her husband prayed to receive Jesus Christ into his life. Mrs. Hanover began to weep. Roger was surprised. She said, "I prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him." "And where's your husband?" Roger asked. "He's dead. He was in a car accident on May 7th, 5 years ago. After he left you out of the car, he never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise." She cried and then added, "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word." Friends, her husband got to know Jesus before the accident. He was saved and his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. She did not know that. She was angry with God and left the church. God was has actually heard and answered her prayer. And very often, we don't know what God is doing. You've taken a situation to Him. Nothing seems to be different. But keep in your mind and bring to the fore of your mind, the forefront, God is faithful. You say, well, I don't know. God is faithful, man.
Yes, amen.
I'm hoping that the people on the next farm will hear that. He loves us and He cares for us today. We can trust Him. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Now help me here. Great is your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we must confess that life is getting harder, it seems. We have more questions than answers. When is this COVID-19 going to stop? It's robbing us of so much. Help us amidst these problems, even as you did amidst Jeremiah's problems. You reminded him that you are faithful. Help everyone here, Lord. We know that the whole church could have been here, but even before the foundations of the earth, you ordained, Lord God, you preordained that on this date in 2020, that we will be here because we need to hear and be reminded of your faithfulness. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help every head and heart that's bowed here, even these little fellows here, Lord, to lean on that, to hold that close to our hearts, the very characteristics, the very nature, the very attribute of our God. God Almighty is faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. On your sheet, there's a song there called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I know you've been sitting for long now. Could we stand and just stretch a little bit and maybe sing along with this hymn?
Shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest,
sun, moon, and star in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifoldness to thy great faithfulness, mercy. Let's swell it out now. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Listen to verse 3. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000. You know why, Lord? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. He's a good Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to read a blessing from the word of the Lord, a benediction as we call it. And it's also from a verse I quoted in 1 Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's that verse. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.